Now, I did something kind of funny. I usually upload my message to here. I didn't do it at home, but I have it on my phone. So I'm not texting, all right? Looks like, hey, I'm going to be a hipster tonight. Now, years ago, I saw people, they would come and they're on their phone. I'm like, why are they on their phone the whole time? And I'm like, oh, they got the Bibles on their phone, so whatever. So if it works for you, great. So, amen. Well, let me get here, get everything pulled up. Let's look at, we're going to continue talking about prayer, and I have some very interesting things to talk about. Nobody's really, how can I say, it's not the normal prayer message. But if we look at John chapter 15, verse 4 through 7, John chapter 15, verse 4 through 7, and everybody is always wanting somebody else to pray for them, it seems like, in the world, you know? And there is something to that, but on the other hand, when we read the scriptures, and we have Jesus often rebukes the disciples for not having faith, right? When he fed the 5,000, and then he went into later Matthew chapter 14, and then later on the next chapter, Jesus feeds the 4,000. So he did it twice in the Gospels. He fed the 5,000, then he fed the 4,000. Every time, the disciples were like, what are you going to do now? And so he got frustrated with them. Or, you know, Peter, later in that same chapter in Matthew, right after he feeds the 5,000, he's tired, and then he goes and he, rests and he prays, spends time with the Father, and then, you know, the storm comes, and then later we see that Peter, at that time, wasn't Peter yet, but he came across, and Jesus was walking across, and he said, come. And then what did Peter do? He was looking into the storm, looking at the situation. He started, that would flip me out if I just walked on the water like two steps. You know, I'd be like, man, that is hot dog stuff. That is just so cool. But what happened? And Jesus is always rebuking him. Why? For not having, what is faith? It's not taking initiative. Right? It's not taking the initiative to take what God has given you and walk it out or do something with it. And so John chapter 15, verse 4 says, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abides in the vine, no more can you, except you abide in me. So Jesus is really coming. He's like, you know, you got to abide in me. You got to abide in my word. You need to be in me. I need to be in, we need to be connected together. Verse 5, I am the vine, you're the branches, that abides in me, and I in him, the same brings forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. Verse 6, here we go. If a man abides not in me, he's cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they're burnt. Here we go, verse 7. If you abide in me. You always look at Jesus's, often Jesus's words are very conditional. We just think that it's just, God just owes it to us all the time. But in the word, Jesus will, often he says something, and there's a condition to it, right? If, that's not a guarantee about anything. When you say, well, if, right? We talk to your kids. Well, if, that means there's a deal coming, right? There's a contract. There's something when you say if, that means there's going to be negotiation. That's going to be a two-party activity. He says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask whatever you will and it shall be done unto you. I want to ask you something here too. How many times does it say you? Five times, right? So can I ask you something tonight? Is prayer answered prayer? Is that on God's side or is that your side? Because I don't remember him saying, right? It says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. So where's the responsibility lie? On me and you, right? Well, I'm just not getting my answer, my prayers answered. Well, there's a litmus test here for this, isn't there? And we go back to the word. So again, if his words abide in us, then our thinking will reflect him, our speaking will reflect him, and our actions will reflect him, and our desires will reflect him. And just like I said this before, I mean, every time I used to be at prayer school and healing school there at Rhema, and everybody wants you, I mean, we're here to pray for people. That's not it. But and we're going to see some scriptures where you need to reach out to people. There is a we're going to read that in James, but you know, God puts responsibility on you to connect with Him, right? That's why a lot of the religious folks in the denomination, it's so often popular, because I hear arguments from atheists and people. They'll say, well, God's in control. No, God can't control you. Because if God was in control, there would be no murders, there would be no stealing, there would be nothing. Nothing like that would exist in the world. Adam and Eve would not have sinned. The devil would not have his way on anything, right? So when we look at the word, it's very plain that the responsibility is on us. Now, we're empowered by the Holy Spirit to be able to do things. This isn't something that we're just out here on our own doing these things, flailing around like, you know, a little jellyfish or anything. No, we are empowered by the Holy Spirit to be able to do these things, right? So again, if the Lord's word is in you, you will know what He's promised. That's another thing. You know, if we're looking at the word, and that's where people don't get their prayers answered because they don't know what the will of God is. See, when we're in the Word, first of all, we know His desires, right? We know what He will and won't bless. We know, so for example, I don't need to question, is it God's will to heal? Because I already know that. By His stripes we're healed. It says there in Isaiah, and it says there in Peter, 2 Peter. So we know that. We don't have to question this. What do? We just take God's Word and we go, I'm healed by the stripes of Jesus. And we stand on Scripture. So it's when we start asking those questions we start deceiving ourselves, right? Right? So, you know, when we get into unscriptural prayer, many people get into like, oh, give me my neighbor's husband or wife, right? Well, that's completely unscriptural. That's weird. Or bring me money for drugs or alcohol. Okay, God's not going to provide you money to destroy yourself with, right? I mean, these may sound ridiculous, right? I want his or her job. Or I put sickness on this person. That doesn't come from God, does it? There's no sickness in heaven. Or, well, I just pray that lady's going to die. No, we're not going to pray people are going to die. Those are all unscriptural things, right? Make them poor. I hope they lose their job, right? Or, you know, people will do things like, well, I pray, but I don't feel like God forgave me. Well, if the word says 1 John 1:9 that He forgave us, then He forgave us when we go to Him. So we're deceiving ourselves often when we're praying these things. Ephesians, the 6th chapter, says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. When we're in prayer, again, we need to have the concept, we've got to abide in Him, and then we're going to receive those things if we abide in Him when we ask. It's our responsibility, isn't it? Mark 11:22-26. I know we've already talked about this about 1,000 times, but 1,001's okay. So again, we need to pray in line with the word, don't we? Problem is, in too many people, and often people come to me and say, well, pray for me. About what? I need to know what it is we're praying for, because I need to know whether it's biblical for me to agree with you on, right? I've had people before say, well, just pray for me. About what? Oh, I just, you know, pray for me that I don't think about bad things. No, that's your responsibility. You change your thinking with the word, right? We're renewed by the word, and the like Ephesians tells us that we are renewed like the washing of water. We cleanse our mind, we cleanse those things with the word. You want to get your mind straightened, then guess what? You start changing the way you think. I'm from Tomwa, and right up the road is Mount Pleasant, and right up the road is Fairfield. So you've got the Maharishi International there, and one of the things they do is to clear your mind. Well, when you clear your mind and all this, one is right up the road to Mount Pleasant is a mental institution. It is full of those people. You have got to put something in your mind. If not, the devil will abide. So that's why we know that when we're abiding in Him, we're focused on Him and His outcome and what He wants. Mark 11:22, and I'm going somewhere with this, so just hold on. Verse 22, and Jesus answered, said unto him, have faith in God. So we're going to trust in the Father, aren't we? Right? So is our faith based on feelings? Well, I don't feel like things are happening. I don't feel. The Bible never talks about feelings. I love Brother Hagin. He says, you know what? When you do the word and you live by faith, the feelings will come. And that's true. That's true. I've talked to people about marriage, done marriage counseling and everything else too. You tell people things, guess what? The feelings will come. You've got to change thinking. You've got to change behaviors, and then the feeling will come. But have faith in God. For truly I say unto you that whoever says to this mountain, be removed, be thou cast in the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, right? Heart, not head, heart. I used to quote this thing. I'd read this like 100 times some night. I'd sit there just an hour or two, just read this scripture. Why? Because I thought it wasn't bad for sure, but I thought the more I memorize this and everything else too, I'm going to get this. It's good, but it's taking it into my heart. And so it goes on and it says, be thou removed, be thou cast in the sea, shall not what? Doubt in his heart, but shall believe those things which he says shall come to pass. He shall have whatever he says. So we know that there's some elements here. We're going through this. Number one, it's going to be abiding in him. I mean, it is, you're when you lock on to the truths and you're in his word and you abide in him, I mean, you would have an easier time getting a steak out of a pit bull's mouth than getting you off of what you're believing for. It's a determination. It's, I know because I believe. Here's the thing too. I believe God's word more than my circumstances. Because guess what? Our circumstances will change. I mean, it's crazy because every time I pull up my computer and I'm typing into the web browser and everything, I got this automatic news feed. It's the same garbage every day, right? And guess what? 2 years ago, hardly anybody mentioned this. But do you realize what kind of a fad all the news is? It'll go on for about a month or two, and then it'll change. And then next year, right? I mean, everything changes. Guess what? God's word never changes. It never changes. Verse 24, therefore I say unto you, what things you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. We receive when we pray. Not when it shows up. Well, I'll believe it when I see it. Well, you don't need faith then. You don't need to, right? I mean, you know, when the brand new truck shows up in your driveway, I mean, what do you need faith for then? In verse 25, and when you stand praying, forgive, here we go, if you have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses. I want to stop here for a moment. So, when we're talking about successful prayer, number one, we're in the Word. We know it belongs to us. What does abiding in Him mean? It means that it builds confidence in us, and we're convinced that those things that we desire, whatever it is that's according to His will, we'll have them. And it builds confidence. It builds faith in us. It builds that security. It builds that confidence, that knowing. Brother Hagin would often do this. He would meditate on the word for a few days before he prayed. See, we're too busy, ready to go pray and start just. I mean, today I spent time in the word and then I prayed because I need to get my mind and my spirit in line with my mouth. Right? See, pray for me, pray for me. What scripture are you standing on? You got to give me something. You got to throw me a bone here. We got to have a scripture. We got to have something. What is it we're believing for? Right? See, we're, and again, you know, I used to be in a prayer call line in Tulsa, and people call in, oh, pray for me this, pray for this, and I have all these scripted prayers, you know, and I'd read them, and I worked for this company, and then some of them are completely unscriptural. I'm like, I don't want to do this. It was just like, blah, 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 blah. It's so horrible. I'm thinking, well, that ain't going to get answered because I don't have any faith. But this thing is just terrible. But anyway, you just have people, and they're desperate, right? And then we had right up the road, we had Oral Roberts University, and they had the prayer tower, and the people call into the prayer tower. And, you know, we'd watch Oral Roberts and, you know, different things on TV. We're down there, and, you know, people call in, and they pray for them on the air. And those are wonderful things. I'm not against that. But to be mature believers, we need to step over into something else. Why? Because we don't need to be the ones for people that we're having people pray for us. We need to be the ones praying for other people. And so we need to, again, believe God for ourselves on some things. James chapter 5, this is very interesting here. I want to kind of, we always focus on James chapter 5. We always focus on verses 14 and 15 and 16, but we leave out 13. And if we look at 13, it says, is there any among you afflicted? So James here is talking. He's going through a litmus here. He says, is any among you afflicted? Then the next says, get your pastor and everybody else to pray for you. Then it says, call Oral Roberts prayer line. No. It says, let him pray. If you're afflicted, James says, you need to pray. Pastor, would you please pray for me? I'm sorry, but the Bible is telling you need to pray for yourself, right? Now, we're going to get into some other things here in just a minute where we do have corporate prayer. But often, people refuse to pray for themselves. If any among you is afflicted, let him pray, or her, whoever the case is, right? Is any merry? Let him sing, right? So this is like me coming up and going, hey, I feel really good. I feel like a song. Go ahead and sing, Carol, right? Well, go ahead and sing, Amy. No, if I'm the one that has something stirring in me, I am to sing. It is ridiculous to go, I just feel so joyful. I'm going to praise the Lord. You go ahead and do it for me. Is that ridiculous? And that's how we treat prayer often. Right before that, again, any afflicted, let him pray. Okay. And then in verse 14, is any sick among you? So we're talking about the sick now. Sick among you. Here we go. Let him call for what? The elders of the church. Do you see affliction? If you're afflicted with problems in your life, guess what? You pray yourself. If you have joy, you need to sing and release that, right? Verse 14, any sick among you? Okay, now this is one way of praying, one way to deal with the sick. I'm not saying this is the only way. But it says, let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. Can I just say something here? I'm going to be really bold about some things. I think every person in the world needs to hear this, but guess what? Some people don't receive their healing because they're not connected with the body. I'm just going to say it. Right here is scripture. Now, it doesn't mean we have to come to church and we have to be healed this way and you have to call the elders of the church. There's other ways we receive healing. But this is a biblical avenue for people to receive healing. Right? It is a biblical avenue to receive healing. Healing, right? I know everybody hates the word authority. Oh my goodness, especially nowadays. Everybody, oh, I'm just so free. You're not accepting me for who I am. I identify as a snake or whatever, as a bunny. But God works through authority often, doesn't he? He does work through authority, right? I mean, there's a head of household. There's a head over here spiritually. There's heads of things that God works through a level of authority, doesn't he? If you read Moses, in Exodus and also with Jethro, his father-in-law, this whole thing's addressed. They address it there and other places in the Bible. But What happens is there are things that, like, for example, here, it is an avenue that God works through, is just through spiritual leadership. So first of all, if you're afflicted, you need to pray for yourself. Second of all, if you have joy, you need to release the joy. You need to sing yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, just like Romans tells us. In verse 14, is there any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let him pray over him. Now, this is talking about, is this talking about sinners? No, this is talking about believers. You and I here, right? Now, when Jesus was alive, there were no believers. I mean, there were believers, they were Jews, and they were believing the faith at the time and developing and learning things. Nobody was born again. Jesus went out on the streets and healed people, and we can do that too. Right? So you got to understand too, when we read the Bible, a lot of everything south of the Gospels, I mean, the whole Bible's for us, guys. I mean, let's just say that. But south of the Gospels to the end of the book is really for us as believers. It's directed for us as to live a life for Him. Am I boring you tonight? And then verse 16, here's something. Confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much, right? So again, we see that people do not receive answered prayers due to, just like we read in Mark 11, we're going down a litmus test about prayers and how to have an effective prayer life. Number one is when we're in unforgiveness. When we're in unforgiveness. Do you know how many people have cancer? I'm not making a blanket statement. Every person that has cancer has unforgiveness or anything else too. I have a family member that is the most bitter person you've ever seen, and she's on like her fourth or fifth treatment of cancer right now. She's had cancer like four or five times. I'm telling you what, there is an association between sin and unforgiveness and often sickness and things coming upon people. Why? Because when we praise God, we get into the Word, we activate and allow God to enter into our lives and to be able to work in our lives. When we sin, it's like a coyote call inviting the enemy into our life, right? Whether that's we're in sin, we sin with our mouth, whatever it is we're doing. And this person, I'm telling you, she's the most negative, the most bitter person, hates the church, everything else too. And guess what? She's on her fourth or fifth time. She's had cancer. And it's been cleared, and then it comes back. And it's cleared, and then it comes back. And it clears, and it comes back. And I can tell her right now, this scripture is operating in her life. She's not walking in unforgiveness, and she's getting a bitterness. Now, thank God she hasn't died, and I think there's some grace and mercy on her. But again, you know, we can't go in and pray for results when we're holding things against people. I'm just telling you, you got to have a clear. Every day I get up, I'm like, God, if I did something, if I did this. So, and again, we see that people do not receive answered prayers due to, again, unscriptural requests. We see that people don't receive answered prayers because the word is not in them. And they don't have faith. We see that people do not receive answered prayers because they're not often part of a local church, right? Or they have any kind of spiritual... Do you know how many times when I was in church, there would be things I didn't have answers to or things I needed in my life, and I went to my pastor and he had the answer. He just had the answer. Because, I hate to tell you this, but in this life, we need people. You need people. That's the way God designed it. We need each other. Nobody's on an island themselves, right? Again, you know, sometimes people are praying for something that God doesn't want them to have. Remember Jonah? Remember that guy, right? Okay, Jonah can do whatever he wants to. He can go, God, I believe that I'm a businessman. I'm going to travel the seas. No, he took a vacation trying to hide from God. How'd that work out for him? See, what I'm saying is, it's when we're in rebellion, sometimes where God has a plan for us, it doesn't matter how much we pray. It doesn't matter how much Jonah prayed. You're going to do this, right? I mean, Jesus had an assignment on his life too. Jesus was going to do it. Jesus didn't go, well, you know what? I kind of like the carpenter thing. I think I'll just stick with this. You know, the whole going to the cross just doesn't sound like my bag, baby. So I don't think I'm going to do that. It doesn't, see, when we're talking about the will of God, it doesn't matter how much you pray. It won't work. Jonah, he was going to go to Nineveh. Why? Because he's the guy that had the message and delivered all those people. So again, no matter how much fasting, how many people you get to pray, how many prayer calls you get, when you've got something that God has commissioned you to do, you ain't getting out of it. I'm just telling you right now. People are like, well, I'm just praying. You know, I have success in this business. Well, did God tell you? Again, that all comes back to being led by the Spirit and knowing what He's calling you to do. Because you can pray, well, the prayer just doesn't work. Really? Are you even supposed to be doing that? Hello? Just saying. Right? And, you know, all the disciples, they decided to, you know, when Jesus said, hey, follow me, let me pray about it. I'm going to pray about it. I'll get back to you. You know, I need to pray about it. There's no praying about it, but I'm glad. They're probably really glad right now that they obeyed. Right? Especially the tax collector. You know, you're making really good money. Everything's going great. Of course, nobody likes you. But, you know, you've got all the comforts of this life and much more. You know, hey, I'm going to give up all my wealth. I'm going to go follow this Jesus. And no. I was just, there's a story here. It's really interesting. We'll kind of close here early, but Brother Hagin was talking about preaching in California, like in the 50s. And he was talking about, you know, prayer. He was talking about how we need to, as believers, you know, we can have, and one of his best-selling books is called Believer's Authority. So, you know, it's a great book about, if you haven't got it, you need to go get it. It's a thin book. Remember how many pages? There's two of them now. There's like Believer's Authority, and then there's Legacy Edition. It's thick. I read both of them multiple times. It's really good. You got to do it. And that's one of the books that I taught in Africa on was Believer's Authority, a whole week on Believer's Authority, and use that book. So it is good. It's a great resource. Get it. But anyway, Brother Hagin was preaching in California in the 50s, and pastored probably 11 or 12 years. And then he went on the road, taught. And so one place he went to, he was teaching, and he was talking about prayer and about how, you know, we don't really need to run to everybody often. We can just go to God ourselves and building up our faith. So anyway, this guy got upset, just blew up. Oh, he was mad. Called the pastor over, and the pastor came in and said, what's going on? He goes, I'm just upset you have that Kenneth Hagin in and everything, talking about prayer. And he goes, we're all baby Christians. And he goes, you need to be the one praying for everybody, and we don't need to be doing this for ourselves. And oh, he's just mad. He's just upset. So this pastor was a young guy. He was probably late 20s, maybe early 30s, or about my age, you know. And anyway, so. but he just blew up. You know, I'm never coming back to pray for you again, and just blah, 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 and blew up, and wasn't the thing to do. Well, anyway, went home, cooled down, called the guy back, said, I'm sorry, forgive me, you know, and repented and everything. He said, please forgive me. So this guy got upset, and he went around, tried to get petition, you know, people in the church to get rid of the pastor. Only two people signed it. and then he went to the board. They didn't listen to him and all this other stuff. So fast forward right after that, this guy was a supervisor in a factory, and there's a three stories. Anyway, so this guy that was complaining about the pastor thing went, and he and this other worker were working on the machine doing some stuff. Well, anyway, the floor goes out, and now he's in the hospital, right? And so anyway, yeah, this guy had all this bitterness, and so the doctors, all this list of things that are wrong with him, and if he makes it, he won't live. If he makes it, he's going to be a vegetable and this and that, and all this, you know, laundry list of things that are wrong with him and everything. So the wife calls him and says, I want a pastor, and says, I just need somebody over here. We want to be with him all the time. So the pastor went over and prayed. And so while the pastor was praying, the guy's wife walked out of the room, and the guy shot up in bed. Now, all these bones are broken. He's just mentally, he doesn't have any capacity to do anything, right? Shot up in bed and says, Pastor, is that you? And he said, yeah. And he said, well, the Lord just appeared to me and said, if you'll repent, ask for forgiveness to you, ask forgiveness to the congregation, ask forgiveness to the board, and ask forgiveness from Kenneth Hagin, then it'll heal you completely. You know, God will do things on credit for you. Just trust you that, you know, you're going to do the right thing. I'll give you this on the stipulation, right? And how many times I've seen people that have repented. See, we think repenting is a dirty word. It's a great thing because what it does, it gives us a way out to be able to receive what God, the good things God has for us. I mean, those of us who were saved in here, think about it. If we didn't repent, we wouldn't have Jesus. Right? We wouldn't have the wonderful things that God gives us, right? So repentance is a great thing. And so when we repent, that can open up the doors for healing, blessings of God, right? Because the problem is when we're, again, in disobedience, bitterness, or anything else too, it ties God's hands and he can't move for us. He can't do what he wants to for us. And why? Because his word is law. It means that he's bound by his word. If God did something outside of his word, then the devil would have grounds to blame him and call him unjust, and he's not unjust. So it's kind of an interesting story how when we can repent, that again, that root of bitterness. We also see there in the book of Acts, we don't have time to go there, but when Philip, the evangelist, was doing some evangel. Let's just go there really quick. It's in Acts. I'll find the chapter here really quick. I think it's in 8, Acts chapter 8, verse 5. It says, when Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them, and the people with one accord gave heed, basically they listened to Philip speak. And here we go, hearing and seeing the miracles that he did. And here we go, verse 7, and unclean spirits crying with loud voice came out of many that were possessed with them, and many, taking with palsies that were lame, were healed. And then, of course, there was great joy in that city. Anytime God shows up in the Holy Spirit, there is always joy. When repentance comes, that's joy. But we see here in verse 9, right after that, but there was a certain man called Simon, which before that in the same city used sorcery and bewitched people of Samaria and making himself basically some great one. Later, he wants the power of the Holy Spirit. And Simon sees these things. And I'm looking here. Here we go, verse 23. He's talking to Simon, because Simon's trying to buy the power of God. Verse 23, for I perceive, this is Peter talking to Simon, for I perceive that you are of gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity. And that's how his bitterness led him and it bound him. Interesting, huh? And Peter picked up on that. You ever notice too, a lot often bitter people or people who were in this situation, well, it just said that he was into sorcery and bewitched people. He was into witchcraft. That's all about controlling people. We as Christians, we're not into controlling people. Well, Pastor, you preach the message and you're trying to get people to do things. I'm never telling anybody how to. The point is, we present the gospel to set people free. You know, righteousness is liberating. The Spirit of God is liberating. Simon here had bitterness in his heart, and it caused him to be bound with iniquity. What's iniquity? Sin. Isaiah says he was wounded, right? For our iniquities, that's sin. It's freedom, I'm telling you right now. When we can come to God, we can pray, we can have our prayers answered. Usually most of the time, well, I've, like I said before, I mean, I was dealing with some things in my body. Right when I repented, everything left. You know how many times I've gone before God, I'm like, okay, I'm praying. Because, you know, we can ask when we're in blood by the Holy Spirit, we're in him, we're in the word. We can go to him and we can fellowship with him and we can ask him what we need to do, right? I know that's crazy. We're just trying to find scriptures and everything. I can't tell you what we were in years ago, Adrian and I picked up, and I've said this before, I remember in the kitchen, she was just having all the stomach pain, all these problems. We were just, I don't know, eating supper. It wasn't my cooking. I promise you, because I didn't cook. But I prayed. I started quoting scriptures. All of a sudden, the inside was like anointed with oil. And so I remembered, oh, yeah, James chapter 5. So I anointed with oil, and she was instantly healed. You know, that's where having the Word and the Spirit together, it's powerful, because that's where often the people who don't want to receive the Holy Spirit, that's where they fall short. See, they're just trying to go through and flip this switch and do this, and I'm trying this and I'm trying that, rather than say, okay, wait a minute. Where'd I miss it? And that's okay if you missed it, right? We've all missed it. We've all fought short of the glory of God. But when we're talking about prayer or things that we specifically need, often we can say, Lord, where am I missing it? Lord, how am I supposed to pray for this? Because we just read, I mean, you come to the elders of the church there in James chapter 5, and how you can call on the elders of the church, like the pastor. Well, that's one, but that's not the only one. What do you need to do? See, that's where, again, people fall short. They don't receive things from the Lord. Why? Because they're not being led by the Spirit, and that's huge. That is huge. If I would have been, in my younger days, led by the Spirit more, I wouldn't have done as many dumb things. And I'm the only one. That's okay. All right, I'll raise my hand. Right? What happens is when we're led by the Spirit, that reduces the frustration. Because here's what happens. People pray or they do things in the Word or anything else, and often if they're not seeing the results, one thing is they're not being led. I know all the preachers on TV, you name it, blab it and grab it, but we got to take the whole counsel of God, don't we? It's very important that we look at the entire counsel of God and just go, we're just going to the old one size fits all. It's just all going to, Brother Hagin talks about that too. It's like, you know, we just can't go, oh, just pray for me. No, there's different avenues to go, right? Do we pray for healing? Do we pray for prosperity? Do we pray for salvation for someone? Are we going to intercede? So again, prayer is not just one universal term, or, you know, prayer is just simply talking with God. Like, Lord, how's your day? I'll do that. Just, you know, talk to him. When I get up in the morning often, I'll just say, you know what? This is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice. I will be glad in it. Do you know, just speaking the word is prayer also. Mm-hmm. And there, believe it or not, there's prayers in the Bible. That's incredible. There's actually prayers in the Bible. Ephesians full of them. Colossians is full of them. There's just great stuff in there. The book of Psalms, Proverbs, it's declarations unto God. Amen? So, you know, here's the thing too. Prayer is just so wonderful. When you get into the Word, you just see the goodness of God, and then you know what? You just talk to Him. You just talk to Him like a person, right? We're not going to get in heaven and go, hey, John, would you tell Jesus for me to do this? And would you tell... Hey, Piper, would you tell Jesus this that I told him? No, we're going to walk up face to face and talk with him. Isn't that cool? Right? And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. So guess what? Because of Jesus, now Jesus is our Savior, He's our Redeemer, but the end is the Father. To actually have the relationship with the Father. Did you know that? Praise God. I love you, Jesus. But He was in love with the Father. Guess what? I'm in love with Jesus. I'm in love with the Holy Ghost. And I'm also in love with the Father. You know, we can have a relationship with all three. Isn't that cool? And also, too, it's the way that which one speaks to me is what I know who's speaking. And that's a whole nother topic in itself. They're three in one, but they interact with me differently. Mm-hmm. They speak to me differently. That'll blow your wig. That'll blow your wig, won't it? Right? But they're three in one. Hello? They're one God. They're three in one, right? That was like Jesse Duplantis said. He's like, you know, the Father is the heart of God. Jesus is the face of God. The Holy Spirit is the voice of God, and the church is the hand of God. And we see in different, obviously different Old Testament, we're seeing that that was the Father's, you know, where often he would, you know, manifest the most. We see, you know, a couple times where we can see Christophany, which is the study or the theology of Christ before he came to earth. So we can see some of that. We see obviously the Gospels, that's where Jesus himself came, the Son. And now we're living in the dispensation of the Holy Spirit in the church age. So each one of the Trinity, we've seen there's an emphasis in each part of the Bible. Each one has had a different part. So anyway, it's just when you get into the Word, you get in a relationship, it's hard. It's like, you know, it's like me describing Amy to everybody, but you have no idea until you talk to her. Right? You just don't know. Or, you know, I can tell you all day long about Kenneth Hagin, but until you listen to his messages, you just don't even have any idea. And by the way, I've met Brother Hagin on numerous occasions, and when he was alive, he was just a wonderful man. So fantastic. But it just kind of, that's why he's my daddy in the faith. I mean, he's, when I listen to him, it's just, oh, something inside of me just stands up, right? I just love Brother Hagin so much. He's so solid, so good, so just a wealth of amazing knowledge and understanding, that just so humble before God. Just wonderful. And when you're around those people, it just helps build your faith. When you're around those caliber of people that, you know, go on with God and see things. So, Father, we just thank you tonight in the name of Jesus. Lord, you are everything. Jesus, tonight, we give you honor and glory, Lord God, that you bring purpose to our life. Lord, you bring joy to our life. You bring peace in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I speak peace tonight. Father, I thank you that, you know what? You want to answer our prayers before we even get to you. Lord, before we even show up to the throne to pray out things, you are eager and loving and willing to answer our prayers for us, Lord Jesus. We thank you, God, tonight. And tonight, I always want to give an opportunity. If you don't know Jesus, or you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, I want to pray with you afterwards. Amen? I want to give you that opportunity because you need to have Jesus in your life. I had addictions in my life. I had all kinds of garbage in my life. Right when I got rededicated myself and got filled with the Holy Spirit, boom, everything was gone. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Forgot about beer. Forgot about all that other junk in my life. I just wanted Jesus. And Lord, I just pray peace this week over everyone. And we just praise you in your name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, have a great week, everybody.